Today on the Little Dum Dum Club, a brand new episode with guests Luke Heggie and Mike Goldstein. We have got a show in Brisbane fast approaching May 18th at the Brightside. It's a Saturday afternoon. There's lots of special guests in and around town while we're there, so it's going to be a great show.
That's right, Tommy. Get onto that. Not very long to go. Cannot wait. If you've loved the live episodes coming down the pipeline in the last month or so, be part of this one.
Yeah, littledumdumclub.com. Get your tickets. We'll talk to you more at the end of the episode in Talking Dum Dum. But until then, enjoy this new episode. Mike Goldstein, Luke Heggie, and a special cameo. Hey mates, welcome once again into the Little Dum Dum Club for another week. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me as always, the other half of the program, Carl Chandler.
G'day, dickhead.
Joining us today, we got two very special guests. Please welcome back onto the show, Luke Heggie and Mike Goldstein.
Yes.
What a treat. What a treat to have these two gentlemen.
Yeah, two stars of stage and screen.
Yeah.
Mike Goldstein and Luke Heggie.
Thank goodness we've got a little bit of diversity, because this was starting to look a bit, you know.
What? Oh, but could we got a...
We got Goldstein.
We got Sri Lankan.
Jew, Sri Lankan.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more diverse.
There's no
and
more.
And your lifestyle as well.
Oh yeah. So,
yeah. We know you're not a fan of diversity because you got your kid here and he's French and you've locked him away in the cellar.
Yeah.
He's not allowed in here. We're in the Oil Hotel.
Well, he can come in if you like. I just thought it'd be awkward.
As soon as we walked in, you chucked him in there.
Given the current climate of not having children anywhere,
true.
I thought I'd better just play it safe.
I just wanted to see if your French kid knew what, if I said hello, if he understood or, you know, anything.
I don't have a clue.
No, I had to go with bonjour or he didn't have any idea. Okay.
Told him to go into his room and he mimed opening the door to go in and then you were like, no, the actual door.
And there's not even a bed, there's a cage in there.
Yeah.
There's a baguette stuff through the hole in the cage.
You said go to your room. He said no. You said no, do it. And he immediately surrendered. I'm like, that is a French kid.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
What else? Baguette for breakfast.
Yes.
Yoplait.
Yeah. Does he speak fluent French?
Yeah.
Cool.
You want to test it?
Yeah, I'll see what I can remember from year two.
Le commissariat.
I beg your pardon?
Police station, I believe. That's what I remember from year seven French.
Right.
What can you say, yeah?
That's the one thing that stuck in
the
your
one
head.
Thing.
The one
the
phrase,
one
police
thing.
Station.
Yes.
Interesting. Yep. What happened to you at Gaulier?
Is that still running? Does that clown thing still go?
He's still going. He hasn't been taken down yet. No. It's an old French.
The French
clown
have never heard of him.
He bullies.
I have asked.
The whole thing is he just hazes everyone. I know a girl who dropped out of clown school. She got bullied so hard, and she had to come back and tell her parents, "Sorry, guys, I dropped out of clown school."
It's always parent. It's always parent funded with those.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So famous old French clown school, and basically you go there for 2 months and. He's got the greatest racket going on of all.
You can
all
stay for a year. You can stay for 6 months and stuff, can't you?
I think it's culty,
yeah. Isn't it?
But he's like...
Is he a pervert?
He's seen as the guy. And then the whole course is basically like... You do your act, you know, you do your clowning act in front of him, and then he sits there and goes, "You look like a bit of a fat slut." Like, he just gets to and say whatever he wants to. Like,
so just hypothetically, can anyone open their own clown school then?
This is Chandler's dream.
You're just going to have to work out how to make the word police station abusive and you'll be good to go. But yeah, it's like, how has this guy not been taken down? You read these stories about him, and it's like, that's all he does. He just sits there and he just fucking abuses people.
To be fair, his defense is they want to be a clown, so I should be allowed to abuse
him. Yeah, I guess that's it. It's like the general public are like, he's doing it. He's actually doing it.
The French don't care either.
What?
Like, you can just bully. They don't give a fuck.
I love bullying.
Yeah.
I reckon they might have invented it.
Mm.
Like, it's Dave. Yeah, really? They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
It's not, we're tiptoeing around all sorts of shit. They don't care.
Yeah.
They're telling their daughters they look fat in the dress and stuff.
So your wife is French.
Yes.
And you, so you're over there a bit. And how do you, because I've
You're part French because it's an STI.
I've been there a couple of times as a tourist and like, they do, like, only to Paris, but like, they do not like anyone from any other part of the world.
Oh, I think that's changed a lot. A lot of them want to learn English. They all think Australia is just a far away, unreachable paradise. There's a lot more here now, but 20 years ago, they're like, Australia, fuck, this is our dream.
So it's still got
to go there. So that's still sort of got a bit of a sheen. They fucking hate English, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
They call them roast beef.
Roast beef?
There's a couple of roast beef in our restaurant. They fucking hate them.
Because they think that's a bad meal, so that's like a diss.
Yeah, it's like
right. That's they
a diss.
They are the worst. That is the worst people to have a train ride away. You know, being beautiful, cultured city, and then you've got the British can just be there within it like an hour and a half on the train. That's
I quite like their attitude towards outsiders too. They're protective of their language and their culture. I'm like, fuck you.
It is very funny because they're all so close together. It's like, you know, these radically different cultures so close. It's like if Geelong was like just a fucking different planet from here. Like you just go there and they speak Geelong. And
if Geelong was like Spain.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh, you guys in your coffee. We don't do any of that down here. Mm. 1 hour on the train away.
Yeah.
Like,
that would be cool.
Fuck?
What do you got, one cafe per person now up there?
That's good gear.
That sort of thing.
That's pretty good gear.
Come on, mate. The festival's over. Next year.
Is this how you got kicked out of clowning school? By having an actual joke?
Well, I don't know. I don't know quite when we'll put this up. Maybe this will be... by the time people hear this, they will have heard week 4 of our residency of Abhishek Mishra, our open mic protege that we had on
four
of our live podcasts.
Our noble savage.
First person to ever do an entire run of live podcasts with us at the Comedy Festival.
Oh, that might be true. I'm not sure.
Residency. He did the same routine 4 weeks in a row.
Mm. How long's the routine? A few minutes.
Look, by the time we got done with it, it was about 15 minutes each week.
Yeah. You interrupting it.
He got I think 1 week he got about 40 seconds out, maybe.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did our last show the other day. Big finale with him. We had a lot of people, extra people get up on stage with us to experience the bit. Last night at the Comedy Festival, went to see, you know, it was all done with the shows we were doing, went to go see a show, the final night, I'm sitting there, the lights go down, voice comes over the speakers, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage your opening act, Abhishek Mishra.
Oh.
So then I got to sit and watch the bit for a fifth time.
Oh, man. From the front,
and not being able to interject, let me tell you,
that's weird.
It was a wild experience.
Was this the Moosehead Recipient Awards that you saw?
What show were you going to see where he was the opener?
Alessio Carducci.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm second row, and I'm just, I got to hear the bit in its entirety, and I got to hear a new bit.
Right. He's the guy that supplied us with, that we talked about a few weeks ago, supplied us with the worst of Melbourne comedy, actual genuine comedy.
I thanked Alessio for this.
Who didn't know what he was in for.
Yeah.
So that's how you found him. You got him on the worst.
Alessio is the open mic whisperer.
Right.
So
yeah.
He's like the king of the gutter. So I said, give me your absolute finest.
Yeah.
And he gave us a guy who was, as we talked about, everyone went out and did characters and did these weird, horrible characters. And then he came out and everyone went, what a great character. And 2 minutes in, they went, this is no character.
Yeah.
Well, Alessio's been on me because I got
Then he paid Alessio to say thank you for the gig and this is what we had a little quiz, but I think this is so perfect. He paid him with a gift. The gift was a copy of his own autobiography.
Oh,
which now have a copy of.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And I've done 30 seconds worth, and I reckon I've found 4 pearlers already.
Did you we're going to have a live reading of this book.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
Wait, how old is this dude?
Oh, I don't know.
Hard to tell.
Late 30s.
All right.
And the word that turned me during the worst of Melbourne Comedy Fest, I was there, it was a great night for all involved. And I think this is when the crowd knew that he meant it. Was the word slit.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah. My goodness.
See, I missed all this.
And the quote was, I think the quote was, all women are slits.
Oh, slits?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a collective term.
Yeah. It reminds me of...
you ever see a pack of slits?
It reminds me of ages and ages ago when I lived in a share house and we were looking for a new housemate and we got on one of those Facebook housemate finder groups and there was a guy who'd posted it about him and his partner moving down from Brisbane and looking for a house together. And the post has lots of photos of the two of them and stuff. And, you know, obviously you get in that group. It's very competitive. You got to try and make an impression. And the text in the post was like, yeah, g'day everyone. Moving down to Brisbane with the two hole. And man, you're trying to, who's seen that and being like, we got to get this guy in. Yeah. Sounds like a real laugh.
This guy, full credit to this guy for coming down because it was sort of a trick. And this guy got invited down. Well, in the way that...
He loved it.
He loved it. Like, that's the thing. It was a good gig. It was a full house. He got to go out and do well for 2 minutes until everyone figured out what was going on. Yeah. So he got 2 minutes of laughs.
I do like we've got a bridge between our world. We've got Alessio as our bridge between our world and the open mic world. He's your fixer.
He's your guy that you go to
and you're like, hey, man, I need a, not just any bad open micer, but a guy that fills this criteria.
The wolf?
Yeah, he's the open mic whisperer. I can't talk direct to him. Yeah, I don't speak their language. So I don't want to name this guy because he did the right thing. He was not a bad guy. Like, he just told me, but like, people that do comedy are just berserk. Some people are just fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's an open door policy.
Yeah.
Anyone just fucking wander in.
The fucking problem.
He seemed like a nice guy off stage, but on stage it was some pretty horrific stuff. It's a very easy comedy thing to do, to come in and go, what will get a reaction? So there's a bit of that going on.
Yeah.
For people who are like, oh, you guys are like bullying open micers, it's like, that's the beauty of comedy, is that everyone starts out in the exact same place. And it's like, if something like this had have existed when you and I started, there would have been a podcast that was like, yeah, I saw this fucking loser doing his gig in pajamas. Like, get a load of this. Get a load of this.
Any other industry, incompetence gets bullied and fucking admonished. Yeah. It's just like, no. Just be nice to the loser.
Yeah, yeah. And not only that, I literally put an ad out going, who sucks? Who's a fucking idiot? Come and do this gig. And my inbox was chockers.
So when we're laughing at it, we're laughing because we remember being in that place.
Yeah.
You know, you start out and you're like surrounded by all these people.
But
in a
also,
lot of ways, that's you.
As I said last week or whenever it was, fucking, you know, there was a few even comics going, oh, is this bullying? I'm like, how is this bullying when this fucking Abhishek has played to 4 full houses? I paid him to do the gigs and now we're flying him to fucking Koh Samui.
Yeah, he's
6 months into comedy.
Fuck. And sounds diverse too, by the name. No,
yeah. Well, that was accidental. I'd rather that not happen.
Is the most diverse booking you've done in years, Dan. <Yeah. laughs>
That is an unfortunate coincidence. I asked
him to change his name, but
I made the t-shirts of him for the last live show, and I had Alessio on me being like, brother, we got to sell these t-shirts. He's like, he's like, open micers really want one.
I know, I've been hit up by all these people going, how can I buy an Abhishek t-shirt? We left them on the floor.
No, I've got the ones I printed, but maybe I'll just put the design up on Redbubble and I don't know.
Just leave it at limited run. What'd you make, 5 or something?
Yeah, I've got...
Take bids.
Yeah, he's got one of them. So, yeah, I've got 4.
I didn't know they were so sought after, so I gave them to the first cunt who wanted one.
Oh, really?
I
must have 2 left then.
Right.
I've got 2 left of the originals, and then I guess if there's enough interest, I can put them on. Yeah. But Alessio seems to think that everyone on the open mic circuit wants to be rocking an Abhishek t-shirt.
Right.
Because he's their hero now.
Right.
He's the guy who's like, he's made it out of the slums.
Yeah.
Into a slightly nicer slum.
Into a neighbouring slum.
Yeah. Well, he's made it onto a podcast.
Yeah.
Woo-wee.
He's been boosted up by 2 guys who have fuck all else going on.
Yeah.
But we're friends with people on TV, so
that's
something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's now like 1 degree of separation away.
Yeah. He knows someone who knows someone. Yeah, that's all right.
So this book,
I won't dox him completely, but there are a couple of ripper little bits in there, and I thought especially Luke Heggie would enjoy this. The start is the name of the autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Set Legend.
Oh, yes.
Pretty good.
Beautiful. And then this
humble.
Honestly.
Just in case it's not completely clear as well, we should say self-published.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the blurb on the back, what do you call the... It's just a blurb. You call it a blurb, don't you? The very first 5 words. This is the very first 5 words on the blurb on the back to sum up his autobiography. A well-hung young man tries desperately to drag a...
No.
Fuck yeah.
Mentions his dick in 3 words.
I kind of love it. It's good.
It's not a joke.
What? Is it
what
like
do you mean it's not a joke?
Well, it's just like a well-hung young man tries desperately to drag an unlikely and unwilling group of musicians to fulfill their dreams of becoming rock stars. Like, that's just a description. There's no joke in there. It's just like, I just need to get in there that I've got a big dick.
But maybe he does. Maybe there's like, it's Boogie Nights style where like the last page of the book is like a photo of his dick and it's actually really small and it's like,
I had a look.
Ah, see, yeah. I'm pretending.
I looked for it, but there's no pictures. Don't worry. Yeah. And the dedication at the front, is a big thank you to all the fans.
So, oh, right.
Yeah. Awesome.
Usually people do, you know, I got a massive cock and I get heaps of slit and shit, and they go, I love my mum, so thanks, mum, for all your support and the things.
I'd like to thank God.
No, none of that sort of stuff. Yeah. It's
Yeah, does the word... is there any mention of slit in the book?
It's such a shame that it's a physical book where I couldn't just sort of Apple F and look for it. It's
I'd bet any of you $100 I could find slit in that.
Before the end of this episode. The first sentence of the whole book refers to himself as the infamous and then his name.
Yeah, fantastic.
He calls himself the infamous.
I like this guy.
And it's like, it's so written, like, again, full credit to this bloke for giving it a go, but it's so written as a first draft of someone who's never read a book.
Do you reckon, is he just one of those weird guys who's like just done this in his day-to-day life and then eventually has thought, I'll try open mic comedy?
Yes.
Or has he been on the scene for a bit and then gone, time to write a book?
I forgot the fucking best bit of this. Fuck.
There's a rating on the front of the book too. It says R18+, which you don't see enough. The only other book that's on is American Psycho.
That's a DVD cover.
Fuck, how's this? Fuck, what can I call this guy? I just don't want to dox him. So I call him...
Slitty.
Slitty.
Yeah, Slitty. Yeah, yeah.
Gary Slit.
We built this Slitty.
Gary Slit.
Dr. Slit. Stan.
I call him Gary Slit, right.
Gary Slitter.
Yeah.
Gary Slitter.
Right, so let's say his name's that. So the inscription in the inside of the book is... So this is his autobiography. Adapted from the full-length motion picture screenplay... Dead Set Legend, The Gary Slit Story, written by Gary Slit.
Yeah, this
autobiography is adapted.
This is funny.
From the screenplay he wrote about himself.
This is good stuff. I'm into it.
But like adapted from the screenplay, which doesn't exist. Yeah. The movie doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's a joke. It's funny.
That's not a joke.
Absurd.
That's real.
It's absurd.
But let's be real. That's a real thing. Yeah. He's not making that up. He's written a screenplay about himself.
Yeah, and then adapted. He's probably pitching to get it on that. What's that thing with the Hollywood best screenplays that have never
green,
been.
Oh, Green Light Project.
Yeah, that
or
have
something.
Never been. It's like a yearly thing. It's like he's the best screenplays that haven't been adapted yet.
Yeah.
Maybe
I never would have thought, like, you know, we all watch shit on YouTube and that's a few minutes. It's fucking appalling comedy. Mm. Now it's jumped over into books. Now I've read a whole fucking book now to get the hate watching in.
People that think that crowd work clips are tedious, well, wait until everyone's publishing a book.
Crowd work book.
It's a choose your own adventure. Yeah. What do you do for a living? Oh, yeah. If you're an architect, go to page 8.
Yeah. That is what those...
Sounds gay. Oh, fuck, he got me.
Nice shirt, idiot.
Yeah.
This book roasted me.
Nice book. Do they make them for men?
Yes. Yes. So are you actually... have you attempted to start... reading this book?
Man, that was me reading the inscriptions and the tributes and the bits up the front, and I got one paragraph in and went...
It's not going to get much
better. Yeah, there's a couple of good little chat points. Mm-hmm. So I might give it a bit of a go later. But
would we know this dude? What?
No. I never heard of this guy before in my life.
Right.
Yeah. I have, but yeah.
You have now.
No, I'd had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a while ago. Years ago. I remember mentioning it to another comedian.
You're quite a connoisseur, though.
Yeah. But not down here. Like, I could tell you most in the northern states, but Victoria's a different ball game.
Right.
Like you
better
guys
or worse?
I think worse because there's more.
Right.
But probably same standard, just more. Yeah. And different levels of gutter.
Yeah.
So you've crossed paths with this guy before?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. Mm.
Where?
I can't remember, but definitely have. When I saw him, I've seen this.
Was he well hung?
That's the only part of him I saw.
Yeah. Saw him in a Japanese bathhouse. Yeah. This rings a bell.
When you were at Worcester Melbourne Comedy and you heard the word slit, it just activated something in your brain where you
he's got slit like Spidey sense.
Yeah, yeah. When Heggy was working at Screen Australia, I remember stamping deny under the screenplay. Not your dick's not big enough. Come back and rewrite it.
It was in a NIDA class. We're in together. Yeah.
So who's doing it for you at the moment on the scene in Sydney in this realm?
Oh, I mean, I haven't been because I've been trying to write a show and stuff. You kind of go to better rooms. Yeah. I mean, I don't have to. Oh, it sounds fucking snobby. I don't have to go to the lowest of the low. There's another subset of fucking rooms you don't even know about.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't even know what they are, where they are, who anyone
is.
Well,
I said this weeks ago, but like, you know, when I registered this show called The Worst of Melbourne Comedy, my thing was, imagine if there was like a really bad night of comedy and then I accidentally just went to a room that wasn't mine and went, oh, this sucks. Like, they still exist. I thought they'd been bred out of fucking
right. What do you mean accidentally? Yeah. You fucking knew what you were doing.
No. You know what I did? I was talking about it. But I went to Kappa's. Kappa said he was being a judge at a gong show.
So you knew
show.
You were seeing bad comedy.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know it was that bad, though.
You said, I'm going to go to a gong show that Nick Kappa is judging.
Yeah.
That's on purpose. Accidental would be like, oh, I was at Flower Drum, and then all of a sudden an open mic started.
No, but I forgot that they could be that bad. I thought they were all like decent level. I was like, oh, and I walked in, I saw 1 minute of Nick Kappa, I went, oh, this is really bad. Oh, no, I forgot.
but that's classic, like, anything where it's like, oh, imagine going to this, where it's like, the thought is often, the thought of it is very enjoyable. And then you're there and you're like, oh, now I'm just sitting in a bad show for an hour. Yeah. This sucks.
But also, did I say, I think I said this. I think Abhishek was at that open mic.
Yeah. You did say this.
And he was not going as well as what he did at our gigs.
Yeah, I got to say, it really
but there was. There wasn't nine professional comedians behind him, rocket boosting him, to be fair. So.
Yeah, it was a weird experience seeing it in a room on a Sunday night in the comedy festival. And in the crowd, there were like probably like eight like young like club rat guys who I don't know why they were at the show to begin with, but it like it really, although I will say when he got to the point where he went, he was pretty shaky start, and I was like, you know, I was like nervous.
Used
for
to big crowds.
Yeah, I was nervous for my boy. I was like, fuck, should I just start throwing some of my zingers in that I've been workshopping for the last 4 weeks just to help him out? But then when he got to the line of who the fuck is buying cum in the middle of the day? I mean, it's undeniable.
Yeah, they don't.
So does he have confidence now? Like, is he like, he thinks he's
pretty confident.
Yeah.
I think he's just in general, even outside of doing our stuff, he's like a pretty, I mean, he responded to an ad for we need someone shit.
When you take him on tour, does he have to do the same set?
Yes.
Of course.
Oh, okay, that's it.
What else would he do?
He's locked into that forever now. He's not allowed to write a new joke.
With us, yes.
I did say
it would not be funny if he did something else.
I got to say though, his whole set was Sperm Bank,
right?
And then one other shorter bit that I obviously hadn't seen before.
Yeah, what'd you think?
The other bit I really liked.
Oh, okay.
Probably not as much for us to play with.
Okay,
but a good little slice of comedy I really enjoyed.
Maybe we can debut it in Kosamui.
We need to do a run of four more shows here before we go to Kosamui. Just to really get its sea legs up.
Work it up for the Creatures of Habit Bar and Band Room present Kosamui International Podcast Festival. Get him to... that's a real treat for the Samuias. Yeah.
Well, so should we... do we have an up? Because we put up the GoFundMe to go halves with getting him over.
Yes.
And we hit the target.
Yes.
So
it's all happening.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
But have you communicated with him in any way?
Yeah. I talked to him and I said, are you all good? It was funny because we did this live show last week and we went at the end. That's the end of Abhishek, I guess, unless should we bring him to Samui? And everyone's like, ah! And so we put a GoFundMe and went, look, we'll go halves. And everyone's like, all right, and chipped in. And then at the end... like he walks out and went, so Kosamui? And he's like, oh, maybe.
He's above it, dude.
Yeah. Well, he was like, oh, I've got this. You know what he was concerned about? He's trying to get a visa for Europe. And he goes, I don't have my passport on me. I'm like, they will give it back to you. It's fine.
Oh, right. To get so his ticket is off. His passport is off.
Yeah, he sent it away or whatever. And then he found out. He just went home and Googled and went, oh, yeah, I can get into Thailand as an Indian national or whatever. I'm like, yeah. Yes, you can.
But, I mean, that does make sense why I wasn't immediately like, fuck yeah. He's like, yeah, I got this Europe trip coming up. It's like in our head we're going like, yeah, we're going to give this guy his first ever bit of travel. It's like, oh, yeah, he's immigrated here. Like, this is his international trip.
Yeah.
He's like a new mascot for you, right? So are you going to make him do like what tuxedo shit you did with Kappa?
I did think about it.
Yeah, it is. In our head we're like, ah, look at this like great new funny thing we're doing. And it's like, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. This is our new thing, like getting someone to say the same set over and over until we just need to break him until he starts to go, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
This is bad now.
I did have a moment in my head of like, oh, yeah, if we're crowd, you know, if we're like raising money and like we're bringing him over. Maybe we could like, there's like something funny and like how we get him to go that. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, we have literally done that.
You know, you guys, you set a dangerous precedent though, because you plow through a few mascots over the years and they generally become successful.
Yeah, this guy is going to be huge.
So you might have created a fucking, you know. Oh, well. I mean, whatever. Very successful. Yeah.
Well, this one at least, it is like way more on record that we like everyone else that we've done that with is like, they've been having a bit of success on the scene already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we've become friends with them and we knew them and they were sort of at the same level as us. This is a guy that this is more of a guy that we've plucked out of like
also,
actual obscurity.
Also, I think it's overplayed a bit that all these people get really big. It's just like they just get slightly bigger than us, which is fucking not hard.
Yeah, so yeah. Like, and then they all ditch you out leaving these fucking losers behind.
Yeah. Oh, they're in the they hold a suitcase on Deal or No Deal. Oh, they fucking made it. They're bigger than Tommy and Carl.
Until new host of the Daily Show, Abhishek Mishra.
Yeah.
Well, exciting. We get to have him over on the beach doing the sperm bank bit.
Nice.
Every single night. Hey, mates, we are dropping in mid-episode to give you a little bit of SponCon inside the main con. We have thrown ourselves some money, transferred it from one account to the other.
I've paid you and you've paid me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To let you know about our show coming up in Brisbane in, 2.5 weeks, May the 18th at the Brightside. Special guests and a surprise appearance by comedy.
Yes, some cracking guests. What is it? In the afternoon, Brightside, 18th of May. Was it 3 or 4 o'clock or something like that?
I think it's 3.
Yeah, you guys will figure it out.
You live there. We're flying there. We'll figure it out later.
Why don't you click on the link? It'll say.
Yeah. We're just going to go straight from the airport, so we don't really need to know what time it's on.
Yes. We just, when the doors open, we know it's fast approaching.
We'll just be there roughly 4 hours beforehand anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but some great guests. It's, behind the curtain of us doing live shows in other cities, we don't do shows there when there's only normal hometown people there.
Yeah.
We make sure some good Melbourne comedians are there first.
Yep. It's a huge weekend in Brisbane. It is, of course, comedy round. So get in, come join us. It's been a while since we've been in Brisbane. Always a good time up there. Get your tickets, littledumdumclub.com.
And while you're there, you can also get the tickets to the Going Away Party in Melbourne at the Creatures of Habit Bar and Band Room, who are the proud supporters of the Coast of Melbourne International Podcast Festival. That's June the 1st. It's going to be live talking Dum Dum plus drinks.
Yeah. Get on it.
See you there. Speaking of clown school, this is something I found out this week, Luke Heggie, that I never knew about you.
Oh, here we go.
I never knew, after all what you go on about on stage, all this fucking shit you go on.
What shit?
Here we go.
The tough guy persona.
I mean, we already know the whole French shit going on, the little fucking scooter you ride around, the karaoke enthusiast, all these things that go violently against your onstage persona. There's fucking Wally the worker up there. Yeah. Up there in your high vis and hard hat.
Just a battler trying to do the right thing, you know?
Luke, I've seen you in the toilet applying the dust to your hands and you wipe it off your brow as you walk up there.
That's it. Yeah. Like going backstage and spitting out all the fucking iced coffee that you wouldn't bear touching normally. Luke Heggie, private schoolboy. Never knew it. Private schoolboy.
I've made a fucking...
You're exactly the same as him. You're him.
Well, they're different styles of private schoolboy.
You're Tommy Dasso. You're Thomas Allsop over here. Were you on his rowing team? What's going on?
Do you guys play lacrosse together?
Yeah.
Fuck off. Yeah. Ours is a bit... I mean, obviously people try to downplay it because being dragged up out of the gutter is a much better narrative for comedy. I don't claim that.
Well, he's changed his name. He's Tommy Dasso because he's trying to get the ethnic dollar. You know, Thomas Allsop's obviously a very private schoolboy name.
You think I'm trying to get the
Polk
dollar?
Have you changed your name? Were you... Lucas Hegarthy or something like that. Lucas
the third. Winthrop. Yeah. Esquire.
Junior.
Luke Winklevoss. Yeah.
Are you salt burning us right now?
I think 80s Catholic school is a bit different to private school now as we know it. It's technically a private school, but it's fucking cheap. And we were kind of, mum had no money. and they kind of let povs in every now and then.
Was it was now, Queensland?
Yeah, Queensland, yeah.
It's Queensland private school. All right, so you had your butler coward punch people instead of you doing that.
You still had to punch yourself. Do your own punching, yeah. It's changed a bit. But yes, technically, private school boy.
Fucking hell.
Catholic private school.
Blow my world away.
Yeah.
There's a good friend of yours.
How did you find this out?
Well, a good friend made did an expose and said, Heggie's a private school, but he's fucking cosplaying as a fucking normal bloke up there.
Oh, right.
He's cosplaying.
Someone's come to you like you're a current affair.
Doesn't sound like a good friend to me.
Is a good friend.
So, but you think Heggie should be up there in his schoolboy uniform?
Yes. In his little boater hat up there. Yeah.
If it's any consolation, prefect
jacket on.
You got to claim it. You've got to declare this before every gig. You got to start by singing your school anthem before you start.
Yeah, and instead of walking on stage, your mum should drop you off. Just as
what house
if it's any consolation, I went fucking downhill pretty quickly to the working classes fucking immediately.
Did you fail your fucking real estate exam or whatever?
I didn't fail anything. I went to university, but then after that, nothing.
You thought
shit jobs until now.
I heard a great quote from someone in comedy management once. Said you'll never go broke appealing to the fucking lowest common denominator of people. So that's what you did, hey?
I don't appeal to the lowest common denominator.
Right.
I fucking hate them. They're revolting. I think everyone's mixed up class or money for fucking lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
Like a lot of classless people have money.
Yeah.
A lot of poor people have brains.
Yeah.
Fucking, it's hard to put them all in one thing. Lowest common denominator in comedy also is just fucking whispering in helicopter shit, isn't it? It's not... I don't know.
But where did but
anyway,
you go
yes.
to, where did you go to school? Is Tuscany?
Go to school.
What house were you in?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Green something.
What house were you in? So you were in the most exclusive private school.
Yeah.
Tommy Allsop.
Yeah. Well, one of, yeah.
One of. Oh, one I of. Thought it was the biggest one.
No, there's like two in Melbourne, maybe three.
Ours, because I don't know anything about private schools, because in Maryborough it's like I was at the posh one because it had a library.
Right.
I've just got to go and let in maybe the good friend you were talking about, but I don't know.
Another
maybe
private
my
school
fucking
boy.
Dobber, a private right. school boy, Nicholas Cuddy. We're back in
it. It actually isn't him. But
okay.
Another private school boy. Yeah.
You feel okay with just like leaving the room while we're here on mic and
that's privilege. That is pure privilege.
Yeah. He's gonna get his chauffeur to come in and take over for it. Mater, come in and take this microphone for me.
What else have you heard about him?
What can we
say about him while he's not here?
Yeah, let's make up some scurrilous rumors.
No, this is a good one. So that was the other spill I got from him was because it was like quite a he's just cosplaying up there. You know, he's a private schoolboy. You know what else? He's a skilled and talented saxophonist.
Oh, wow. Bleeding Gums Heggie.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Well, this I want to hear about. This I'd love to know more about.
Yeah, fuck. I'm just trying to figure out who the leak is at this point.
I think I know.
Someone who would say saxophonist. Yeah. Right?
That's a narrow field. Isn't
it?
He's a fucking skilled saxophone cunt.
Yeah. Blows into one of those fucking tubes.
Yeah, I don't know if you want a name on the air.
No.
You know what?
I'll type it into my phone.
Okay, you type it in.
I'll have a guess as well.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not what did you say?
Not there.
I said him.
Some that people wouldn't know anyway.
Oh, right.
It's actually come from someone.
Ah, yeah.
Who then came from someone else and you picked it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who's another dude that seems like a very privileged...
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. School.
And he could spill it because he was right next to him doing the same thing.
Exactly. They know their own.
Yeah, roll call.
In the same house. I don't remember my house. Fuck off. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
What? Really? Into you.
Really? Yeah. There's actual houses. See, I don't know
like
private school at all.
Like a sporting house, you mean? Is that what you mean?
Like you have your... You go like start of the day. You have your like... I don't know, house meeting or
I
whatever.
Thought this was just a Harry Potter thing, to be honest.
Oh, is this every day?
Harry Potter made it up.
Yeah, along
with dragons and, well, like, and
I
spells.
Made that up.
Got it. Yeah.
Administration of a school is the craziest thing I've ever done.
Just like a
imagine
house.
Being organized.
Man, that's the wildest thing J.K. Rowling said in years.
Next you're going to tell me the Sorting Hat isn't real.
Well, it truly is just... Like, well, it's kind of arbitrary in the same way that, like, if you had a relative that went to that school,
yeah.
you're just in the same house as them.
Right.
But then I don't know where it begins. Like, if you come in new, I don't know where
you get, really?
I don't know where you get put in.
Oh, okay. So,
although, actually, I did move schools in year 11, and I didn't have any relatives that had gone there, and I just did get arbitrarily put into... I guess they just look at, like, how many people... there's one less in this one, so you just...
Right.
So hang on, how does it work? So I had houses in primary school because it was just... That's for sports carnivals and stuff like that, but this is every day.
Yeah, basically it's for sports. Like, you have house sports.
Right.
But then you would also have... I think in year 7 and 8, it was, like, a system where you would get... Fuck, what was it? You would get... I'm trying to remember if it was you would, like, lose points for your house. Right. Like, if you fucked around in class or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Heggie's back. He's just restocked his favourite childhood drink, big bottle of Prosecco.
He had to go check on the yacht.
Yeah. He's brought one of his own in, another private schoolboy, just over here.
Mate. Just academic scholarship.
See, you've got to put a caveat around your private schooling.
Oh, yeah. Caveat's a word a private schoolboy would use.
Yeah, word of the day in grade 2. Isn't that what you ate at fuck in the canteen? A couple of caveats? A couple of lobster caveats? Is that in your lunchbox?
We found out something else about you while you were gone.
Yes.
Did you? You've been in the bedroom asking questions.
Oh, yep. No, we haven't. Oh, this is another scoop from your little...
You think we went and grilled your child when you went outside?
We couldn't understand him. I went in there. I tried to ask him a question. I said, "Le comment ça ya?" And he had no answer to it. So,
even in French, no one would fucking answer you that. That is absolutely nuts.
You are private schoolboy also.
Oh, yeah.
Talented saxophonist. Talented, skilled, and trained saxophonist.
Yeah. Wow.
Is that true?
This is. I think I know who my fucking good friend is.
Yeah, I think you're probably...
The method I was going to take was we found out something about you. You want to try and guess what it was.
Yeah.
And then we would inadvertently end up finding out new ones.
Yeah, let's put it this way. If you want to guess who the rat is, I will give you a rose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he's not being a rat. He's just a nice guy giving a... You know, he's always very complimentary, Osher, which is nice.
He just knows things about his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And he would have no idea that in your hands it turns into bullying. He'd be like, no, I'm just begging up my friend.
Put it this way. Most people hear a fact like that and they go, that's awesome.
I'm supposed to be a scumbag.
Yeah,
shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was next to you and down in the velvet trenches with you. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're like, oh, you have a hidden talent? You fucking loser.
Yeah.
A generation ago, this is the opposite. People were trying to big themselves up. Going, no, I come from money, everyone. Now it's this industry. I've never seen anything like it.
You got to get picked
up from a different suburb.
Well, you're doing most of it on stage, to be fair. So.
You're Dave O'Neill's of the world being like, oh, do you know this guy's parents have money? It's like, you own a fucking house in Lawn, cunt.
Yeah.
You've got a holiday house.
Yeah. No, O'Neill literally did tell me this. He goes, do you know Heggie's a private school boy? I'm like, of course you're the one to fucking find this out. Of course. Like,
he's got the yearbook.
He's finally finished the set. He now knows the schools that everyone in comedy has gone to.
Yeah, he must have like a board in his house that's like the... Like, he's trying to find the Zodiac Killer where he's just got like photos of comedians and bits of strings.
Yeah. Is that Tom Cruise movie, whatever that is, where he's got the fucking...
Minority Report.
Minority Report. He's doing that.
Why am I such a big source? Sure.
Well, yeah, badly named because no minority to the school you boys went to. But.
No Minority Report.
I mean, I am quite culpable here. It's when I was a boy, I told my parents what schools I was going to. That's how it works, isn't it? You say, when you're 3 or 4, you go, I'm going to private schools, fuckwits. So,
Dad,
obviously,
take a couple of extra
it's my
shifts.
Fault.
I deserve this.
Yeah. Dad, I've decided, get out of 7-Eleven. You're on the board of BHB Bulletin now. So.
Yeah. So are you still do you play the saxophone regularly?
No.
Oh,
I don't have it. I've sold it.
Oh.
Man.
It's a really antisocial instrument to take out of high school and into share houses. Like, you're not fucking...
Once
share houses, share mansions, whatever you want to call them. Share villas.
When you got into comedy and realised there was already a comedian that plays the saxophone, you were
devastated.
Absolutely no point.
Already knew it. It was in my suburb.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lived in my suburb.
Really?
Who's this? Yeah.
There's a guy, I forget his name, but we won't say it either way.
Yeah.
But he,
a little bit different from playing at a private school. This cunt plays it under a bridge, but yeah.
Plays the saxophone in his act, which it's taking your mouth out of action. So I don't really know how you do comedy while playing the saxophone.
Might be a different one than the one I think. No, it's probably the same one, but also busks.
Oh, right.
Quite skillfully.
It's a good busking instrument. Mm.
Yeah.
It's so the comedy career took off, is what you're saying? Yeah, playing the saxophone.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you were private school, and then when did
you? Yeah, we got that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh. Wait, hang on. Uh-oh. Since when?
Uh-oh. Keep saying it.
Someone's getting tetchy with a commoner. Hey, not mine. Hey, that's my parents bought a holiday house from selling shoes to people in Maryborough. So that's all right.
Race to the bottom.
That's all right.
My parents. Yeah. I've never started a sentence with my parents. Yeah. So.
Well, what are you supposed to say? Mummy and daddy, painter and mater.
Financiers.
I just
honestly feel like a wrestler, like a tag team.
Yeah, we got any other mics around here? Good lord.
I fucking do it. Have you got another port?
Yeah. I've probably got...
Have we got a golden one for fucking Cody to plug in with? Or
yeah, you won't touch it.
I might.
I got another mic.
I might be able to get you in. Oh. Hang on.
I can just hand you mine. I'm happy to step out.
But you're private school, but you didn't do stand-up until much later, though. It wasn't.
Yeah, 35.
35, yeah.
So just out of private school.
Just
I went back and worked there like Screech Powers did.
Yeah.
And stayed. And
like who?
Screech Powers.
Who's Screech Powers? From
the kid from Saved by the Bell who went back and worked
at high
school.
Oh, I went back, yeah.
There are actually some kids who did that. There's a dude at my school I went to. Went to high school, went to teaching school 3 years, back to high school, still there.
Yeah.
Same school.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
What was he
doing? That's fucking institutionalism. Teaching. He's teaching.
Oh, right. Yeah, but that's why I went straight from private. He was private school while he was doing stand-up. He started stand-up when he was 15 or 16 or something.
Yeah.
So was your first tight five in Latin? How'd that work?
Yes.
He was coxing at the time.
Yeah, I was doing gigs while I was in year 12.
Yeah, right. Fucking hell.
Yep.
Did you get bullied relentlessly for this?
No, not at all. People thought it was cool.
What sort of private school did you go to? Oh, there's no fucking way. I mean, maybe sign of the times. If you like voluntarily spoke publicly, that's a bashing.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
No, because for me it was like, oh, you're going out during the week and like going to pubs and doing this like
that's how
adult
you're selling
thing.
It was it?
Did you ever do it at school? Was it like a talent show?
That was the first gig I did. Was at
really?
School. You would have been already president of the debating club in there or something, wouldn't you? The debating team.
No, we had a talent show thing at school, like a drama night thing where like drama geeks could just do whatever they wanted.
Right.
And me and my friend hosted it together and he was like, you should do stand up at it. I think you'd be good at it. So I did it there and then went.
How'd it go?
Yeah, went
first
good.
Get good.
But like, you know, just it's in front of people that sort of know you. Like it was classmates and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
What's up with having a fucking third butler.
This is
that's a bit much.
This
isn't
is
it?
The difference. When I was at school, I had to I was playing saxophone in the band, and we did this thing at an assembly. And I had when you're doing a solo in the band, you stand up for it. I did that. My brother got bashed because of me doing that.
So that's Brisbane private school,
and he's older than me.
Yeah.
He's older than you. That's great.
His mates are like, "Is that your brother? Fucking poofed up."
That's great. That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I don't have siblings, so there was no one to get bashed.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe if I did it, it'd be a different story. Maybe I would have like done that gig at the talent show at school. gone and visited my brother in the hospital and been like, I promised never again to use this gift that I've been given.
Yeah, you probably don't know. Your gardener probably got a wedgie out of the back of it.
Oh, I got a secondary bashing when I got home later that day for doing it and getting him bashed.
Oh, so your brother been bashed. You
he came and I got bashed for that.
The cycle of violence. Yeah. Like,
do you remember any of your jokes from the high school talent show?
God.
Very quickly, by the way, O'Neill said when he made the discovery you were private school, I talked to him today and I was like, oh fuck, what should I ask him about private school? Because I don't know anything about private schools. You know, oh yeah, ask him if he catches up with any of his fucking, if he all of a sudden there's like 20 people in suits that come to his gig. I'm like, that's a terrible question. He's just going to say no. I said, we got Goldstein on as well. He goes, no, Goldstein went to a high school, so he's okay. I'm like, oh, fuck.
He knows American high schools now?
Yeah, yeah.
He's gone international.
He's gone international.
This is the real question that we got to get to the bottom of, is how does O'Neill find this stuff out?
I was like, how the fuck do you know about Goldstein's school?
He's got so much money, he's got people working on it.
Yeah.
He's got PIs.
He's got staff.
Down at his holiday house,
wow. He's just going through yearbooks now, fucking like searching for comedians. You know?
He's got a research department for his crowd work.
That should be next time we have him on. We should actually say comedians' names and try and stump him. Get a school.
No,
that
but
he
that's
can't
helping
name.
Him because then anyone then that comes up that he doesn't know, then he's like, great, go work on that.
He gains those
We're
powers.
We're just making him stronger.
He takes the powers from us.
Yeah.
Gets stronger.
Stronger.
Yeah.
Cody, anything to add over what's happened?
Definitely stronger. Yeah. Also, though, the private school I went to was not your typical.
Here we go.
So it's gone hangy.
Westbourne Grammar. I'm still not in the notable alumni on Wikipedia.
Oh, shit. You check daily.
Bella Page, runner-up of the Voice Juniors finalist. She's in there. I'm not. Julian Knight's not in there. Hoddle Street Massacre. Wow. Don't know what you have to do to get a fucking run on Westbourne Grammar. Wikipedia.
That's literally like a thing you could say. Hey, who do I have to fucking kill around here to get a bit of notice?
I'm probably on a billboard above the fucking school and I still can't get on the notable alumni.
Is it Wikipedia? You could self edit, so you could just go and add yourself.
Someone did, a listener of Midflight Brawl.
They did.
Yeah.
Your teacher came to my show.
Author.
Was it your ex teacher came to my show the other day? Was it him? Yeah. He fucked around on the
Music
Wikipedia,
teacher.
Didn't he?
Was it him?
I think so. I think he's the one who fucked around on Wikipedia.
Did he tell you off for not wearing your tie?
Yeah. He got the ruler out, just gave me knuckles a fucking whack. Yeah.
And also, to bring up what I heard before, Chandler giving Heggy shit, there was probably no one of colour at your school compared to the melting pot of Maryborough, Victoria. He didn't even see a Chinee, as he says it, until he moved to the big smoke.
Well, we didn't know what they were, so how could they come to us?
Similar mentalities in an inner city private school and a regional public school. It's us v everyone. Don't let him in. Heggy,
we had several Greek boys that came from, you know, that came to start up their fish and chip businesses that they then changed their name so that we wouldn't fucking bash them. Called Jim and Jim.
Heggy, this is the real private school test. Any instances of diddling come to light after you left the school?
Fucking absolutely.
Yeah,
like just the whole
that's
time.
That's the real test.
Yeah.
If no one got molested at your school, it's not a real private school.
Yeah, no, it was fucking... Yeah.
We just bashed the teacher.
Have we ever had someone that does breakfast radio on the show that knows how to talk into a fucking mic?
There's no mic in front of him, to be fair.
More privilege from the private school boy. Fucking hell.
Hold my microphone.
Yeah, we had this. I think these are the two big ones. Allegations of and confirmed diddling after you left the school, and also teacher discovered to have been rooting one of the mums.
We had
a couple of them.
I mean, we had a PE teacher and a student, but like that was pretty good for us. I didn't know we could afford that.
How dreadfully common.
I'm pretty sure that's the diddling one, though.
Which one was the man? The teacher or the student?
Teacher.
Oh.
Yeah, that's deadly.
I mean, the other way, it's really sexy. That way, it's pedophilia.
Yeah, but they got married, so I think everyone felt like, oh, they sort of got away with it or whatever.
It's like teacher's pet stuff.
It's terribly boorish, isn't it? Isn't it, Lucas?
My primary school, I was a day boy there. The boarders had a bad time.
Oh, the boarders are bad. Yeah.
Well, they've...
Why do they have a bad time?
Because they get molested.
Oh, the live long right. day. After dark. Once you know the sun goes down, the fingers come out, I guess.
Yeah, you know you're at a private school when... you know you're at a
Once the sun goes down, the suns go down.
You know you're at a private school when the reverend's molesting you and he's got his pinky out while he's jacking you out. Fuck, I might chuck that in the act. So you can probably tell just by looking at me I was molested at school.
Yeah.
Pleasure to be here. I've just come from religious studies, so it's good to be anywhere.
After you get diddled, they doff their top hat.
Yeah, keep this under your hat, your top hat.
We had a I've told this before. We had, when I was in year 10 or 11, I think, there was like a website that went up that was like photos of boys from my school that had been taken with like a long range camera.
Oh yes.
And it was like, it was good. We got called in for a full school assembly because it was going to be on the news that night. And it was like they were trying to take it down, but they were having trouble getting it taken down because it's like, oh no, it's a photography pro. But it was like kids in there from my school, like in their like sports uniforms, like walking to rowing, like not knowing that they were being photographed, and just like no text.
What did you say, walking to rowing?
Walking to like rowing practice or like tennis, like whatever. Just like, yeah, boys being photographed, like not knowing they're being photographed, and like no text or like nothing really on the website other than just the images. So that, you know, the defense was like, no, it's just a photography site, you know, we just take photos out in public.
Well, see, that's where my private school was different, because the school down the road, there was a current affairs story where girls at the school were selling blowjobs for $5. So on our school bus on the way home, everyone would have $5 out the window and bang on the windows.
Oh, must be nice. $5. We only got two.
So it was like a big thing where we got brought into an assembly just to like give us the heads up, like, hey, this is going to be on a current affair tonight, that it's this thing that's like our school and like maybe one or two other schools. And then immediately we all just go into like the computer labs and like look the site up, and people are like taking stock of how many times they're on the website.
Yes.
And if you weren't, if you were someone like me who wasn't on there, you got bullied. I got teased for not being good enough for the fucking pedophile website. Like, my friend was on there 8 times. He's like, yes! Yeah, like, walking around like the king for
that's
the next
so
week.
Good. That's awesome. That's awesome. That would be in his school book, wouldn't it? 8 times.
Like, yeah, that's just his nickname
order 8 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably got a little stripe on the blazer.
Yes. The blazer pocket. Yes.
Most photographed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What were you in rowing? No, I was getting jacked off to.
Yeah.
That's what I majored in.
Yeah. We had a guy in year 12 who, when you could get like a rugby, you could get like a rugby jumper with like a name on the back of it.
Yeah.
And you could choose what it was. And there was a guy in my year level who just got G on the back. And someone came up to him and was like, what's that about? Why'd you get G on the back of your thing? And he's like, oh, you know, because people are always saying that I look like Andrew G. And people are like, has anyone ever said that?
You look like that dobber.
And he's like, and everyone's like, but when you say everyone says this, who's said this? And he's like, you know, like everyone in the year level says it. And we're like, no, none of us have ever said this. Yeah. And it's like at the time, you know, like the big like hot guy on TV, just a crazy thing to just invent. Like, you know how everyone's always saying I look like this guy. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You know what? Is this probably one of you guys, Cody? This is a kid on a scholarship. You know, doesn't actually have the money, could only afford one letter on the back of the fucking thing. Had to create a backstory for it.
I just went with N. Like, what's the... Yeah. You don't
know.
Not the one you're thinking of.
Yeah. I'll give you a clue. None of them are here.
My friend put in to get Mr. Hardcore, who was like a prominent porn star at the time.
Oh, my God.
And they just went with it. Because it's just some little old lady in the fucking uniform shop. So they just went with it. Yeah. And he's put it in and we're like, there is absolutely no way you're going to get this across the line. And he's like, I'm feeling pretty good about it. And then like the day they all get delivered, he's just proudly holding it up. Wow. Like, check me out, boys, Mr. Hardcore. Like, fuck, that rules. He's done it.
Big question. With your mum and dad putting you into private school for that many years, and now off the back of it, now you're doing a podcast with me.
Yeah.
How does that feel like? bike is a waste of money.
Yeah, it's the real... I mean, it is the true. We did... the lessons that we took on interacting with commoners really comes in handy every week.
Oh, great, great. Great. Yeah, how many modules did you take of dealing with the great unwashed?
I went to a reunion a few years ago for... like, it wasn't not back in Brisbane, but in Sydney there was like a dozen... Yeah, somehow they got in touch. Went, go to this place. All right, turn up. And it is a real lesson in being the commoner. They are fucking high-achieving, actual private. You forget. They're all bankers and fucking surgeons and
especially
shit
the ones that are going to the reunion.
Yeah.
No one's like, man, my life's on the skids a bit. I've had to move back home. Better check into the reunion just to give it a bit of balance. Yeah, it's only going to be like...
I like this guy. It's like the opposite of everyone else. It's like, oh, you've forgotten your roots. It's like, you know, check out these real estate agents. That's your roots, cunt.
I know.
Private school boys.
I went to
you're
dinner.
Forgetting your upbringing.
I went to dinner with them. I was just looked in, just shitting myself at having to pay probably $200 each a meal. I was like, what the fuck? I've never had a meal cost this much, you cunts. They were fucking going for it. Like, it's just...
Oh, really?
Different world.
And you're having to field questions about what's Charlie Pickering really like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're playing the saxophone in the corner.
Yeah. Now that you've gone undercover, what a cornflakes line. Yeah.
Peggy left the dinner and someone at the front just gave him an Uber Eats bag to take. He's like, no, I'm not a delivery guy. I was actually here as a part of that reunion. Yeah.
He's the closest to a coloured person we've ever met.
Have you been to any reunions?
They asked me to do stand-up at my 10-year reunion.
Oh, yes.
And I fucking just did not go at all. Like, because I'd have to fly back to the States for it. And then what a nightmare. Like, even just doing... even the talent show shit you said. Like, anxiety.
At least with the talent show thing, you're like, I'm young and naive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stupid enough to be everyone will find this cool.
Yeah, but going back, doing it at the 10-year reunion, and probably bombing. Surely bombing, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to see you eat shit.
There should be, like, something that you get. If you say yes to a gig like that and you crush it, you should get some... There should be some, like, ultimate reward
you get
that you
fuck
get.
The gym teacher.
Consensually this time.
I just meant, like, in the world of comedy. Like, the most outstanding comedian shouldn't be an award at the end of the festival. It should be, like, this guy turned up to his 10-year high school reunion.
Yeah,
he did his act, like, as he normally does it, and it killed.
That would,
you are the best comedian. Yeah,
that would be a great special. Like, that's where you film your special.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah, fuck.
If you keep it together and just do the whole show... and die, that'd be a fucking awesome special.
Right.
Really good. That'd be really good and just nothing from... Fuck, that'd be awesome.
If you make the commitment where it's like it goes out live or it's like however this goes, I'm putting it out.
Yeah. If you sell tickets, if you sold like 100, like that'd be great. If you're on stage, you've got your school reunion people there, then you sell tickets to normal people to watch you and your school reunion react to it. That's a good show.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wait, you've got like a second venue where people are watching the live feed?
There's a second crowd.
Yeah, okay. So you're cutting around like...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when they have
like...
It's like
Blues Brothers, like wire fence in between everyone.
I do like that, like the cut around of like the, you know, like a final or whatever.
Yeah.
Someone scoring a goal and they're showing like bars in like Madrid and like the world over. People like, yes! Like people in the town square.
Yeah.
You get it beamed into like Fed Square. Yeah, you at your school reunion. opening with your pedophile jokes.
Yeah. But the guy who was school class president was a good friend. He set up a Facebook page for like, you know, the alumni of this high school. And he made me an admin of the page for some reason. Mm. And I grew up with him, you know, like I go back to the States, go, you know, drinking. Well, I have a picture of him from 20 years ago where he's shit-faced, butt naked on the toilet. And you could see just the top of his dick, right? And I made it the cover photo of the Facebook page in the group. He didn't talk to me for like 8 years.
Yeah, right. Haven't talked to him for 8 years. And then anyway, here he is doing some comedy at this reunion. Mike Goldstein.
tough front row. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, we better wrap it up there for another week on the Little Dum Dum Club. Luke Heggie, Mike Goldstein, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
You guys both have podcasts. Luke, you got Mid-Flight Brawl.
Yeah, I do.
With Nicholas Cody right here.
Yeah. Got a tour rolling on too, actually.
Yes.
The Sydney, Perth and Brisbane comedy festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Big shows. Lots of fucking spare seats. So get in.
Yep.
Same as well, Perth and Sydney. When is this out?
I don't know. Maybe next week.
Next week or two.
Yeah. Sydney's coming up and then Perth after that. Again, plenty of spare tickets.
And the Phone Hacks podcast. Oh.
Who can forget the Phone Hacks podcast?
Oh, evidently you.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, yeah. We're still trotting that shit out every week, so yeah, have a listen.
Cool. Cody, anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I got my 20th school reunion coming up.
Oh, really? Year. Yeah.
20th?
Stand up.
20th.
Fuck.
Did you get it?
Yeah, right. Where is it? French Riviera? Or where's it being held?
All right, guys, thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you, mate.
And they've done it again.
Yes, almighty. I love comedy. Just pushing one out at the little bits of petrol left in the tank.
Mm.
2 days after the comedy festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's been beautiful to have mm-hmm. a little rest from content.
We were at one point trying to do it the morning after the festival finished.
Yep.
And one of our guests said, no thanks.
Yeah. Basically said, I'm going to hate comedy. And then I thought of it and thought, yes, I will too.
It was a very, I respected it, but it was quite, I don't know what you'd call it, passag. It was a, feel free to find someone else.
Yes.
Oh. Yep. I'm allowed to do that, am I?
Yeah.
That's very gracious of you.
Yeah, funny stuff.
I was like, I'm not drinking at the moment, so it makes no difference to me one way or the other.
Yeah.
This person was like, I think, planning to send it.
Oh, look, I think I wasn't even drinking on the final night of the festival, but when I woke up in the morning, the thought of doing a podcast revolted me.
Mm, yeah.
So, yeah, nice to have a little day off and then... get the wheel spinning again.
Well, again, that's how I feel every week, so yeah. It makes no difference to me.
Yeah, I'm not that far off feeling that right now, actually, now that you mention that.
But yeah, good fun. Little surprise drop-in cameo from Nick Cody.
Yeah.
Little bit of
ex-stand-up
help
comedian
there.
Nick Cody.
Yep.
Good
yep.
to get him back doing comedy again.
Mm-hmm. He kept dropping the microphone because he hadn't held one in his hands for so long. Holding it the wrong way around, trying to talk into the cord.
He kept picturing us naked just to calm his nerves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He kept saying, hope this first time goes better than my first time having sex.
Hey, Nick.
Good shit. I talked about seeing Abhishek comedy the
Abhishek
night before
update.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I said I wasn't drinking on the final night of the festival, that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
Instead, I was watching Abhishek do comedy, actually from the front.
Yep.
Not checking out his little hiney while he's doing the sperm bank bit.
Doing the 180.
And you saw him last night. He messaged me to say he was doing spleen and that he was wearing the T-shirt that I'd made.
Inexplicably. I go, you know, because I was like, fuck, I should put him on. He'd never done spleen before, like a normal spleen gig. And then all he's done is a packed house at the basement.
Sort of beneath him now, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why go back?
They say you play it twice in your career.
Well, he's only played it once. So I thought I better put him on. So I put him on there last night, full house. You know, great lineup and whatever. He's wedged in the middle there. And I come backstage and he's just inexplicably wearing that shirt that you made him on that last episode. A picture of a drawing of him with his name on it.
Yep.
And he's wearing the shirt backstage.
Yep.
And I'm like, why are you wearing that?
A drawing of him, which, to be clear, why it's funny is because it looks like it's in the style of the Dave Hughes caricature T-shirt. So the whole thing was having it alongside that. It's like, hey, look, there's another one of them out there.
Yes.
So they're just that in isolation, hey, here's a bad caricature of me.
Yeah. By the way, let's make a note that I do always appreciate that you say it caricature.
Caricature.
Yeah, caricature.
Caricature.
Yes, it's good. It's cute. Caricature. He was backstage going, and I'm like, "Why are you wearing that?" He's like, "Oh, you know, just to keep it going and whatever." I'm like, "That's not how it works.
Keep the momentum going."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he messaged me. He was like, "Oh, thanks so much for giving me the shirt." I was like, "What else was I going to do with it?" Honestly, I appreciate the thanks, but zero effort on my part to just hand this over to you.
Yeah, yeah.
You can
have
the rest of them if you want.
Yeah, I was going to put it in the Australian Comedy Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could have it instead.
Yeah.
So he's just wearing it. I'm like, I had to say to him, you do know that whenever I'm involved in a gig, it's not the same dumb podcast crowd. Like, these are normal people.
Yep.
Out there, you're about to see a few Swedish backpackers,
mm-hmm.
some bored businessmen in Melbourne for the night,
mm-hmm.
and just some fucking losers with nothing to do on a Monday night.
Yep.
This is completely different. It's like, oh, that's fine.
Did he?
Okay.
And did he wear it on stage?
Yes.
And what? Did he reference it?
Apparently. I was like, I'm not sticking around for this.
Nice.
I was tired. I wanted to go home. I put him on later because I thought the crowd would be nice and warmed up by the time he went on.
Yep.
And I was just getting up.
But you know what else
MC.
Was nice and warmed up? That bed of yours.
Yes, exactly. So apparently he went all right. And I messaged him this morning to go, how was it? And he goes, it was great. Thanks so much. I even referenced the shirt. And I was like, well, I'm glad you fucking did. It would be very weird to not do that.
I'm glad he's getting mileage out of the shirt. Yeah. It makes it all worthwhile. Yeah. Warms my heart. And yeah, I have had requests to put it up on just put it up on Redbubble.
Oh yeah.
Apparently there's people, apparently the open mic community.
I've heard,
talked about this on the episode.
I've heard.
But the open mic community, they're all keen to get around the you know, one of them has done good.
Yep.
He's gotten out of the slums. Yeah. They want to support their boy.
Gotten out of the comedy projects.
And so yeah, I'm happy to help out with that. I don't want to get them made and have to fucking do any of it myself, but I can just chuck it up there.
This is like me, this is like someone throwing away Detective Comics number 27 or whenever Batman made his first appearance.
Mm-hmm.
After that live pod, one listener just comes up and goes, can I have that shirt? I'm like, absolutely. Just throw it away.
Yeah, so he's got one. That listener's got one. And then I guess I have to check how many are in the pile. I guess I've just got all the rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if any of the others, did Husey take his home with him?
Yeah. 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 Find out. Find out what happened to the missing ones. Abhishek, yeah. I better put Abhishek on notice. He's got to wear his to Samui.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to give one of them to these guys who, like, there's a couple of, like, comedy rooms that have, like, T-shirts with the little logo on the breast. And there's some people that are, like, they'll get one of them and then they're very, you know, that you kind of learn how many shirts people have in their rotation because you're like, I see that Catfish Comedy shirt getting a big run on that person. Yeah. I reckon that's one of about four T-shirts that they own.
Yeah, you know who's
a good one? And I'm not saying, I think he just likes the shirt. Sam Taunton bought one of my bootleg McDonald's shirts.
Right.
And every time I see that cunt in a photo, he's got it on.
Right.
So maybe we need to hand the Abhishek shirt off to him.
Yeah.
Get him wearing it on the project.
The project doesn't
under
pay
the
that
blazer.
Well, apparently.
He's never in a shirt. He's just got the T-shirt under the blazer.
Yeah.
So just a little, just being able to see the word sperm just poking through the crack in the blazer.
I mean, we got Ballard to wear our shirt on the gala one time.
Yeah.
Can we get Abhishek on the gala?
We got Ballard wearing our shirt on the gala, and then about 2 weeks later, he told me that his management had organized for him to have a stylist and go buy clothes for him.
Yeah, I believe the stylist is called Raise 10 City.
Oh.
Yes. No, come
damn.
On. He's all right.
Damn.
He's okay.
He's all right.
Yeah. Good on him.
Speaking of people who are okay.
More than okay, in my opinion. Mm. My humble opinion. The people who support this show, the people who put the fucking pieces of cardboard and stuff under the wheels of this bogged podcast.
Mm. Nice.
The Patreon subscribers. Thank you to everyone who subscribes to patreon.com/littledumdumclub. But in particular this week, let's put a little spotlight on a little handful of people.
Mm.
Starting with this guy. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber Toby or Tobias Hughes.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that how you pronounce it? Tobias?
Yeah.
T-O-B-I-A-S?
Yeah.
Tobias? Whenever I hear that, I think people are deliberately mispronouncing that because why would anyone want that name?
How do you think it should be pronounced?
Tobias.
Tobias. I don't know. You're making fun of caricature.
Yeah.
And you think it should be said Tobias.
Yes. Tobias.
Well, yeah. Bias. Tobias.
Yeah.
Tobias.
Tobias. Tobias. Insane. It sounds crazy.
Mm.
Toby's fine. Toby's
but it's
fine.
On the, I mean, yeah, I mean, you could have Toby. That name and then just be like, no, this is how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
I'm changing it.
Yeah. Oh, Toby.
Oh, Toby.
Yeah. I do know Hughes, and this Hughes I know is Toby or Tobias.
It's got this name. It's got everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. Toby Highway. We're going on down the Toby Highway right now.
Tobias Highway.
Yeah. The Tobias Highway.
Yeah.
Do you know there is a, you know, there's a Chandler Highway.
Yep.
In Melbourne, and it's sort of, if depending on where you come from in the city, you can actually, I could give you directions to my house by saying, just go down the Chandler Highway.
Your old house and my old house, it was how I would get here.
Oh, really?
Yep. Well, not here. When you lived in your old house and when I was in Clifton Hill,
yeah.
I was right near that. I was a stone's throw away from the entrance to the Chandler Highway.
Right. When I was in my infamous Riversdale Road location where I would be screamed at quite regularly.
Yep.
I don't get that anymore where I live now. Which is sort of a little bit of a, I was going to say a shame, but then I think back to being screamed at regularly on Riversdale Road and I think maybe it wasn't a shame.
Yeah.
But there is a list, you know what, I think, this is funny because this is a very small street that I live in, right? Now, there is a listener that lives next door that I see all the time.
Yep.
There was a listener.
In this block. Yep.
There was two listeners that moved out of here that once gave me a ride home from a live podcast.
Yep.
But they moved out. I think there might be a new listener in this street because I walked out of this street yesterday and a guy was walking his dog in the street and went, "Hey, love the pod."
Okay.
I was like, "Oh, cool. Okay." Yeah. And I looked around to see where he went and it was like he wasn't walking outside of this block. He was still in this block. Still in the street.
Okay.
There might be another one.
Well, let us know.
Yeah. Let us know if you're the guy walking the dog that said hello the other day.
He might be listening. He might have the AirPods in right now and be walking the dog as we speak, as he hears this.
Well, that happens a lot, you know. How many times has that happened to you? Heaps, where someone walks by and goes, "I'm just listening to you." Like, I have that happen a lot, where someone will hold up the phone.
Yeah.
The episode will be on the phone and they go, "I'm listening to you right now."
Someone, this would be like 10 years ago, I was at 7-Eleven and I was paying and then just like someone like behind me gave me the reach around. They just kind of like slid their phone around behind me into my field of vision and it just had our logo on the podcast
app.
Not a tap on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Not a wait until I turn around and say g'day. Yeah. Just the actual sliding into my vision. I really liked it.
I got a nice little call back from before the other day. I know ages ago we did a thing where we said, you know what, you don't subscribe, you don't, you know, on Patreon, you don't come to a live show. Just when you see us on the street, sling us a fucking 50.
Just give us money.
Give us some money. Mm-hmm. Some bloke on Collins Street just comes up and goes, "Love the show. Fuck, I'm too tight for Patreon, whatever. Fuck it, here you go. Here's $50. And I was like,
That's good.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, because it feels bad to take it, to be honest. But then the guy was suited up. He's on Collins Street.
Yeah.
He's come out of an office. I'm like, fuck it. I'll take it from the fat cat. No worries.
I think after we talked about
And I was talking to Brett Blake on the phone at the time. And I was like, he was like, "What was that?" I was like, "Random just gave me $50. He's like, "I got to get a slice of that. I'm part of this. I'm on the line for this."
Someone did it to me. Like, I think we both had someone do it to us, like, right after we talked about it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, this is funny. This is, like, the week we've talked about it.
Yeah.
This feels okay to take. But, yeah, this far down the line, someone doing it now, I would feel like, I can't accept this. This feels weird.
Yeah.
This isn't a funny little bit from the week now.
Yes.
This is just genuinely me taking money from a stranger.
Yes. Yes. I did feel that for a second, and then I overrode that.
Yep.
And I took that sweet coin. Yeah, I think that's fine. But Toby. You've done it again.
He's ruined his track record.
Never call here again, Toby. Even we'll take the money from the Indian cleaners, but not from you.
Yep.
But he's also a squeaky wheel, long-time subscriber, was in the Millionaire group, in the Millionaire Patreon Facebook group, said, "I've been subscribing since back when we did the magazine."
Yeah, that's a long time.
It's a long time ago.
Pre-pandemic.
Yeah, so had to have a stern word to the UTA and get onto him. Fuck.
Isn't it funny that we cancelled the magazine right at the start of the pandemic?
Yeah.
Right as it wouldn't have been as much of a difficult thing to fit in was when we got rid of it.
Should we bring it back for one month?
No.
No?
No.
I enjoyed it, if only for your illustrations. It would make you do, like, cool illustrations.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just very, as we always used to say, it was just very time consuming for the amount of engagement that it felt like it got. Yeah. One of those things that there's no way of tracking, so you have no way of knowing if you're completely wasting your time.
Yep.
Every now and then someone would make a post in the group being like, "Good issue this week."
Yeah.
And there'd be like one comment being like, "I haven't read it yet."
Yeah.
And it'd just feel like, is anyone? But then we made that physical copy.
Yep.
That where we collected like the best bits of yep. however many we'd done.
Yep.
And that looked cool.
Yeah.
That was a good little piece of product.
Did I keep a copy of that? I'm not sure if I did.
Yeah, I've got one. Maybe we should reprint them. Yeah. People are keen.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that maybe hasn't aged that well. I don't know.
Yeah. I've got mine. I'll have a leaf through.
Have a look.
I'll try and find the dodgiest page and we can just re-upload that.
I can think of it already. I reckon I already know what it is.
Interesting.
All right. Well, thanks, Toby Hughes.
Thanks, Toby.
Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber Sean Warburton.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
Warburton, beautiful part of the world.
It's a town. In what area? How would you describe that?
I guess it's just beyond the Yarra Valley, Healesville adjacent.
Yes.
We have a listener at the Healesville pub when I was there getting lunch, maybe not quite a year ago.
Yeah.
Down
towards
guy who manages it came up and was like, "Hey, I love the podcast."
Oh wow, great. That's great. I love the idea of more managers of pubs being listening to us.
Yeah.
As in, just like the manager of the Creatures of Habit, Bar and Bandroom, who proudly present the Kosamui International Podcast Festival.
Mm-hmm.
How's this? Here's a little bit of an update on the festival.
Yep.
As this comes out, I will be jetting off, as I explained on last week, I guess, on Talking Dumdum. I'll be jetting out to Kosamui, which I think was, in hindsight, a good idea because I have not heard anything from the resort for quite a while, including this week. I've emailed them twice again this week, heard nothing. Then I went, fuck, that's right. I've got the guy's details on WhatsApp, and I hit him up, and then all of a sudden I get a response.
Yep.
Because I'm going there going, I'm going to have a meeting with him. I couldn't fucking book in a meeting with this guy.
Right.
So the meeting is happening now. Thank fuck for that. We have another listener that's the manager of the Creatures of Habit Bar and Bandroom, and that's happening on June 1.
Yep.
The going away.
Mm-hmm.
So come down, it's only $10. It's Talking Dum Dums, one of these ones.
Yeah. It's this live.
Yeah.
What an ad.
Yeah. We'll get a guest.
No, we've done these live a couple times before.
Yeah.
We've done them like after another live episode, and they're sometimes more fun than the actual episode.
Yes, a bit looser.
Yep.
And plus, we'll be encouraging. It'll be like a mini drunk cast.
Well, we do these at like, 10 a.m. or whatever. So it's a different vibe. But when we're doing these like in the afternoon, up on a stage, couple of beers, you think you've heard a couple of fellas read out some names before. You ain't seen. Yeah. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Yes. If you want to hear names slurred, then yeah.
Yeah.
Warburton, that's towards where I got married as well, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of?
It is. I think you drive through it on the way, maybe.
Maybe.
I've definitely driven past that venue several times because my fiance loves it out in Warburton, so we go there a bit.
Yeah.
And I've definitely driven past that venue
while you're
a few
out
times.
There. Yeah. Yeah. Good part, good sort of part of the world, I guess, if you can be fucked driving out that way.
Yeah.
You know what?
It's not that far. It's pretty, like, it's only like an hour and 20 minutes.
Every time you go anywhere, I feel like this is the case with anywhere. As soon as you leave Melbourne, it's like, oh, yeah, you got to go to a bakery. Like, they do these good, whatever. Like, everything in this bakery is really good. It's like, just because you're not in Melbourne, the pies get better for some reason. I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
If it's true or not. Whether it's just a weird association I have with the country or with trees or with not being in the city.
I had a country bakery pie on the weekend and it was fine.
Yeah?
But it was like 10 minutes until closing, so there wasn't much left. Just been sitting there in the warmer all day. Yeah.
In the Warmerton. You can't blame that on that, I don't think.
No, but I could – I also just – because there was like – three different places that we could have gone.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, I could even just beyond the fact that it wasn't at its prime, serving time and temperature, I could still sort of see through that to be like, I don't reckon this is the best place on the strip. I reckon there's better.
Yeah. Yeah, that sort of world, it's sort of a bit like Dalesford. You go there and it's like, oh, yeah, there's some cool people out here and some cool businesses and, there's some stuff going on. And then you see some of the hill people and you go, fuck, this is also just a place where fucking weirdos live as well.
Well, that's literally where we were. It was Dalesford.
Oh,
and Dalesford, I feel like, Daylesford's like, I don't know, it's just like being in a fucking extension of South Yarra. It's like, I don't know, my friends who I was there with were like, God, I'd love to live out here. But it's like, go to drive down the main street, traffic is banked up, you can't get a park anywhere. There's very few just like, honest to God, just like country pubs.
Yes.
Everything's like tarted up and like gastro and like, I would go insane living here, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you may as well just be, like going down the shops and it takes you like 15 minutes to get around the roundabout.
Yeah.
It's like, this would drive me up the fucking bend if I lived here.
You know what it's a bit like? This is such a wild comparison, but I think Daylesford's like Las Vegas.
Mm.
Because the people who actually live there,
yeah,
would never go into that main street or, you know, whatever it is, into those like crazy fucking expensive restaurants,
yeah,
pubs,
yeah,
and stuff,
yeah,
like that. Because the people, like the, because I, like I've said, I used to play soccer for Daylesford,
mm,
and it's like the real people that live in Daylesford are like nothing like those cunts. It's like,
well, that's it. I do wonder how many of those people are left. Because even like when we were there,
there's fucking
the
proper hill people in, yeah, bread, yeah, cunts out the back.
But the Sunday market was on when we were there, and even just so that just banks traffic up even further. And so just like driving down this one strip took like 10 minutes. And I was like, I could just imagine if you'd lived there your whole life, like the town getting to a point where you're like, it's time to go. It's time to go further off the grid. This used to be away from the city, and now this just feels like the city. It's time to fucking go even more remote.
No, totally, because like they say, you know, the people that, you know, you can't go to Daylesford anymore, you can't buy in there, so that then they went out to Castlemaine,
yeah,
and
yeah,
all,
yeah,
these other places.
And so even that now feels like it's getting a bit, yeah, like, you know.
Not long till they turn up in Maryborough.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Maryborough is only 30 minutes, 25 minutes from Castlemaine.
Honestly, that probably will be the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, everything gets pushed. Like, there's a trendy, like, brew pub in Castlemaine now.
Yeah.
There's gigs on there all the, there's like some gig venue that like you see, you know,
yeah,
good acts all the time are like, hey, we're warming theater up for the tour down in Castlemaine.
Yeah. No, totally. Well, thanks, Sean Warburton.
Thanks, Warbsy.
A little bit different here. Thank you very much.
Been talking about a town that's in the opposite direction to Warburton.
Yep. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber SBS Food 69.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Some of these ones I don't dare read out. I think, well, you put your name as fucking Sam, and then that's it. I go, well, I'm not going to bother with that one. But if you're going to make up something like this, then sure, you get your name read out.
I do like the idea because, you know, there's so many channels now with digital TV that, like, you know, 7, mate, is like channel 703, yep, or whatever. I do like the idea that SBS Food is 69 on the TV.
Is it?
Well, I don't know, but if that's what this was hinting at,
yeah,
I mean, that would be,
let's turn it on.
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's
that
so
truly
all of a sudden,
is the bringing together of SBS and food.
Yeah, yeah,
is the,
yeah,
69er.
Oh yeah, SBS Food, dinner for two. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
What is channel 69 on the digital television?
Well, look, this TV is welded onto fucking 22 and 23.
Yeah,
the fucking ABC Kids stuff. I never do much of a lap of anything else, to be honest. Let's see. SBS
Food. Oh, SBS Food. There we go. 33. Oh, that's annoying.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
Damn.
Fuck. What is... Does it go to... No, there's no 69. What happens?
There's no channel 69.
There's 70.
Oh, you go straight from channel 31, which is now 44.
Yeah, it makes
that's
sense.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
To channel
to
7.
7.
7 HD.
So we infamously... what do you call it? Cut our teeth on channel 31.
Yep.
And by cut our teeth, mean...
Met.
Well, we cut our TV teeth on channel 31 and then never used our teeth ever again.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What is on channel 31? If channel 31 doesn't get channel 31...
SBS Viceland.
Viceland. HD.
Fuck, this is great
what was
radio.
That fucking mean?
Just turning on the TV, yeah, and seeing what each, yes, channel is.
Yes. This is new for me. I never look at what's on TV.
How is there not a channel 69? Is that like, you know, some hotels, they won't have a floor 13 because that's bad luck? It's,
yeah,
like, we can't put a channel 69 or people will lose their fucking minds. People won't be trusted with
but
it.
But 70 is like when the channel 7 channel start. How is 7, mate, not on channel 69?
Yeah.
That's,
well, it's got to be 7
crazy
something, but...
Oh, 7,
mate. 7, mate, does not exist. Would you like to remove it?
Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
You got to do that TV update thing where it does the scan for the channels. Because remember back in the day, you could just, like on an old TV, you could just have it on whatever, you could just tune the channel to whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
Like if you just had the button on the TV.
Yes.
If you felt like, you know, you'd go to some wacko's house and they'd be like, Yeah, Seven's on Channel 3.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
You used to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Why can't you do that anymore with the digital TV and be like, I want SBS Food to be on Channel 69?
Yeah. Man, this is a good reason to go through the channels right now. I never fucking... I'm one of these cool cunts from 5 years ago that would say, I never watch TV anymore.
Mm.
I finally am this guy.
Yeah.
The only TV I watch is fucking Peppa Pig and Bluey and all that shit. And I put a bit of YouTube on the...
Oh, yeah.
I don't even do that much. All I do is during the day, if I'm working during the day, but at night, like any time the kid's home, Blanket's fucking commandeering the TV. So. Yeah.
We don't even have our aerial plugged in. And my dad came around not long after we got the dog. I think we were going out to just like be with the dog for like a couple of hours. And he was just losing his mind. He's like, you got this big TV, you don't even have it fucking plugged in. Like, you can't even use it. What are you watching on this thing? I'm like, we watch Netflix and we watch, what are we ever going to watch on free-to-air? And even if there is the odd thing, we've just got it's connected to the internet. You just watch it live on the app on the TV.
He
truly thought we just had a TV that is unusable, not plugged in, never,
Look at this. This Channel 31 does not exist on Channel 350. Yeah, I haven't done any of the updates on this. Nickelodeon.
Mm.
Do we have Nickelodeon?
Yeah, it's nice to me.
Fuck. Oh, this is gonna be news for fucking Blanket tonight.
You've just got Foxtel and you didn't know it.
Yeah.
Wow, this looks right up a kid's alley.
Oh my god. There's a new channel for fucking Blanket. I didn't know this. I did not know this.
Guys, if you're listening, Channel 354 on the digital TV, Nickelodeon.
Anyone that listens to us under the age of 5, I've got big news for you guys.
Ready, Set, Dance is starting right now. It looks like a killer app.
This looks good, man. I've got, you know what? I said to Blanket today on the way to school, you be good at school today and I'll get you a treat tonight. And the treat is going to be, guess what? I magicked up a new TV channel for you.
Take all the credit.
Christopher Columbus over here has made a massive discovery.
Podcasting's Dan Schneider. He invented Nickelodeon.
Oh, my God.
Good stuff.
Fuck. All right. Bang. She is going to be one happy little chappy tonight.
Well, thanks, SBS Food 69.
Yeah.
That's where the credit's really going to go to.
Yes, you're right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your sponsorship of the show and for you helping us on our journey.
Yep.
Thanks. Thank you. 69, if I can just call you that for short. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber John Hannon.
John Hannon.
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 H-A-N-N-E-N. Hannon. The name of Harley Breen's wife that's not wife.
Sort of.
Because they're not married.
Yep. Sort of name, sort of wife.
Yes. Yes, yes, exactly.
Hannon.
Isn't married. He's going to be one of these Dave O'Neill types that won't get married.
Mm-hmm.
Deprive us of a fun party.
Mm-hmm.
Not ideal. Come on, have a party in Queensland. Invite us up.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'd go to a Brisbane wedding.
I'd go to a Brizzy wedding, yeah.
Yeah. Haven't been to a good wedding for a while, I think.
I've never been. Oh, no, I went to Noosa for a wedding. That was good. But I was about to say, I've never been to a destination wedding. I'd like to go to more. People fucking piss and moan about them.
Mm.
Someone went, I'm getting married, it's in Bali. I'd be fucking wrapped.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would be too. You know what? A Bali destination wedding, I've always said I'm not going to Bali. But if it was a wedding and I have to go.
Anywhere. Like,
yeah,
anywhere overseas. I don't know. I get that it's, you got to spend money and whatever. But it's like, I don't know. You can about... Oh, it'd be good to go here. Am I going to... It's like someone goes, hey, guess what? The wedding's in Prague. I'd be like, you know what? Always heard it's good. Was never going to go off my own, organisation.
Yep.
Great. Get to go and do that.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not as easy for everyone that doesn't have our fucked in the head lifestyles where we basically don't really have a proper job and
that's
can't
true.
Take time off and all that stuff. So I understand why normal people can't do that.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I'm saying... Normal people get invited and they hate them.
Yeah.
And they complain.
Mm.
I'm not getting invited, and I'm up for it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
let's
yeah.
just do a. If you're listening, and you've been invited to a destination wedding,
yes.
and you're like, this is such a pain in the ass. We got to fucking organize to get the kids over there, or work out what to do with them. Got to put in the leave for work, which we're saving for something else. I don't want to go to this destination wedding.
Yep.
Get me in there.
Yeah.
Talk to your friend who's getting married. See if you can send a surrogate in your place.
Well, no. What about this? You go, like, someone gets invited and they go, right, well, we can't, we got a kid, blah, blah. Okay, you know what? Leave the wife at home.
Mm-hmm.
You invite Tommy. Tommy's your plus one.
Oh, I come
one.
As your plus one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
okay.
come as the wife.
Yep. Yeah, if you're going to a destination wedding somewhere cool that I want to go to,
yeah.
let me know and I'll come as your plus one. God, imagine if this was the next thing that comes to fruition on this pod.
Yeah, yeah.
Me going to Las Vegas with some random listener for a mate's wedding.
Sharing a bed.
I don't know.
Top to top. Yeah. Top and tail in the honeymoon suite.
Yep.
That'd be good. That'd be good. You just the
in
only
the
way,
lemon suit.
Yeah. The only way you're allowed to travel the world from now on is via this scheme.
Yep. Get me in if it's at the end of the year. I'll go back to Vietnam. I'll get a new suit made up for it that can be to your specifications as your plus one. That's the least I can do.
Yep. Are you bringing the lemon suit to Koh Samui? Is that making an appearance?
I don't know. Could.
Could, yeah.
It takes up a bit of room, though.
Yeah, fair
it's
enough.
It's pretty annoying.
Yeah. Maybe we could get Abhishek to wear it, though.
That's not bad.
Abhishek.
With the T-shirt underneath.
The Miami Vice look. The T-shirt underneath.
Yeah, it would suit him. Yeah. It would look good.
Yeah. You're about the same size, maybe?
I think he's a little bit taller, but then I like a roomier fit.
Right.
So I got it a little boxy.
Right.
So I probably would fit him quite nicely.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Yeah.
I guess I'm bringing it now.
Oh, yeah, that was the update I meant to say. I got lost before. Someone, and, you know, we've talked about this years gone by, you know, people that are looking for refunds. Fucking, you are shit out of luck, cunt, I believe is the phrase. And made it very clear, you know, Koh Samui. No refunds, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Have a think about it. If you want to come, come, but there's no getting out of it. Someone sent us a message going, yes, I can't come anymore. What can you do for me? Can we, you know, do something? Can we, you know, stop short of saying, I want my refund right now because I think they saw what's coming.
I don't think he was even going that far. He was just like, yeah, you know, bit of a shame, I guess.
You've
got to lose that money, you know. Oh, well, that's, you know.
Is fishing.
Bit unfortunate.
There was fishing.
Yeah.
There
it was fishing, but it wasn't.
Yeah,
it was like very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a bit of, you know, whatever could we do sort of thing. Because, you know, Jetstar are going to be harder to get the money out of. And I'm like, let's be clear. I will be just as hard to get the money out of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think Jetstar might be easier.
Yeah.
Because they'll probably end up cancelling the flight anyway, and then you at least get a flight credit.
Well, yeah, you can get on another flight. It's like, well, you know, I could transfer this to another Koh Samui International podcast if you like.
Yep.
But then I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put another ticket on sale. And then for like the festival.
Mm.
And then fucking hell, I didn't even say anything about it.
Mm.
Within 2 days, someone's bought a fucking ticket at like 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, I love this. I'm hoping it's not someone from overseas. I'm hoping it's someone getting home from a big day out, big night out, and just scanning our website for some reason going, fuck, there's one ticket left. Fuck, it looks like I'm going to Koh Samui.
Yeah, listening to the pod on the walk home.
Yeah.
From the pub.
Yeah.
And hearing, you know, maybe they're a bit behind.
Yes.
And it's only just been announced. And they're like, oh, cool, I'll get on it.
Yeah, maybe that's it. So good news to that cunt who looked for a refund. I guess you're getting it.
Yep.
And we're back being full again. Well, thanks, John Hannon.
Hannon.
All right, one more. Let's go. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber. Okay. Oh, I guess we should look at this one too. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber SPS Comedy 69.
Huh. Yeah. They can't. I mean, they can't be on the same channel though.
Can't they? Can you have two channels on the same channel at the same time?
Maybe. I mean, Nickelodeon back in the day, at a certain point, it would turn into like Nick at Night.
Oh yeah.
Which would be like replays of Leave It to Beaver and stuff.
This could be like a record. You know, when you like, you ever have one of those records where you like take it off the groove and you put it on the middle groove, and there's like a secret track in there.
Oh yeah.
So if you use a remote in some weird way and you get it off the track of SBS Food, you can get it in the middle.
On some on like CDs, they would do that where you could some tracks you could like rewind.
Oh yeah,
back past the start of track one, and there'd be stuff on there.
Yes, SBS comedy, that would be good.
Maybe if you go onto SBS food and you enter up, down, left, right, yeah, left, right, BA, yes, start, it turns into SBS comedy.
That would be good. I would like to see an SBS comedy channel.
A cheat code on the TV remote.
Yeah, yeah. SBS comedy, just the most fucked comedies from all around the world, like the, you know, like the fucking Buzzy Bee from The Simpsons thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which was based on an absolute real show.
Yep, yep. All like crazy Japanese stuff. Yeah, they don't subtitle any of it. It's just like, here's what's funny in other countries.
Yes.
And you just have to sit and let it wash over you.
Yep.
And not know what's going on.
Yeah, I would love to see all
that.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
I would love to see all that. Well, thanks SBS Comedy 69.
Thanks SBS Comedy 69, and thank you for listening. LittleDumDumClub.com. Get your tickets to Brisbane. Get your tickets to the going away party in Melbourne on June 1st. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. See you, mates.